This is Cheryl Morgan for Shoutout Radio. I am at the Trans Pride event in Brighton. Everybody is just gathering outside the Marlborough Public House, ready for the march up St James Street through Kemp Town to Old Stein Gardens, where the Pride event is being held. And we're off. There are all sorts of people making music. It's going to be quite loud here. There's Fox doing a bit of filming. Hello, Fox. And you can see Kathy Caton from out in Brighton there. Let's just see if we can grab a quick hello. Hi, Kathy. Do you want to say a quick hello to Shoutout Radio in Bristol?
I certainly do. Hello, Shoutout Radio. I'm so excited that you've come up, Cheryl, to come and support us. This is the first Trans Pride March. It's such an exciting, brilliant day. Justin Caroline Lucas walking with Brighton Transformed. An amazing turnout. Just an incredible feeling and atmosphere. So glad that you're here.
Marvellous. Thank you very much.
Talk to you later on.
Will do.
See you.
I found Roger of the RMT Union, who's here representing his union at the Trans Pride. Roger, why is RMT here?
Well, we have lots of trans members who we should be supporting. They're our union members. We come here, we give a visible presence. Trans issues are a totally different set of issues to gay rights, and that can sometimes be swamped by gay pride. So we come out to small events and show our support.
Do you have any trans members here?
Yes, we do have a trans member here. One has just approached me. I was really happy that we are here and showing our support for the membership, and now wants to be a rep.
Wonderful. That's really great to know that we're getting such support from a union.
Okay, this is a 5-minute warning for the march. The Rainbow Chorus are on the left-hand side to see us off. We should enjoy this. This is Europe's first ever trans march. This is our opportunity to celebrate who we are. So make a lot of noise, be heard, be visible, be proud.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I come from London. I just came here to be around people like me.
My name's Jane. I live locally and I run the group, Sarah's Group, which is a support group for parents with trans and gender querying children and young people.
I do believe I found Caroline Lucas, the Green MP for Brighton. Caroline, I'm with Shoutout Radio in Bristol. We're an LGBT radio programme. Could you just say a few words as to why you're here?
I'm here because I think that although in terms of trans issues, good progress has been made, it's been slow and we still need to have real equality. We need to be celebrating diversity. We need to make sure that trans people are not still discriminated against in so many walks of life. And they still are. And so I want to be here to show my support for the trans community, to say that we absolutely value you for who you are, and we want to do everything possible to end all discrimination.
Oh, thank you very much, and I hope you and also Molly Scott Cato in the European Parliament can do some great things for us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ruben, I'm from Brighton, and I'm a trans man, and I'm here to be visible and with my community and celebrate this special day.
Hi, I'm Sam, I'm from Brighton too. I'm here because I'm Ruben's girlfriend, and I love him, and I want to share this day with him.
My name's Jem Price. I'm a social worker and a lecturer around in Brighton. I've just come because I think it's fantastic that Brighton is the first place to have a trans pride in the whole of Europe, something we should be proud of, and also to support some friends and family who are perhaps closer linked to the trans community in a way than I am. I just wanted to be here to show some support.
We are queer pride, and we're just against the general commercialisation of pride, and so we're here with an anarcho-queer presence today and supporting trans people.
My name is Special Constable Izakowska. I'm here to make sure that everybody's nice and safe. I hope everybody will enjoy themselves and that there's no unexpected issues.
Hello everybody! Woo! Happy Trans Pride, everyone! We're very, very excited to be here, as you can imagine, and it was really particularly exciting to see so many people outside the Marlborough Pub for the march, the first ever march. Brilliant, thank you so much. Right, I'm going to pass you over to Sarah Savage to say a few words as well.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. We are, as a committee, completely blown away with how many have turned up, how many people are here and proud to support us as trans people. Friends, allies, families, everybody, thank you all for coming. We've just had Europe's first ever trans march. We are making history today. You should all be very proud of yourselves. Notice we called it a march. We didn't call it a pride parade. Because we have so much to be angry about. We have so much to stand up about. Gender variant people today do not have the same rights and the same levels of acceptance and respect as other people. We are derided in the newspapers. We are derided in the press. Every day on social media, I see transphobia. I see people who have been affected by transphobia through no fault of their own. I see this. We also, though, we have a lot to be proud about. We live our lives with a level of honesty and respect that is rarely achieved by anybody else, and we should be proud of this. We have a true, unique perspective on life, and we should be proud of this as well. I truly believe that our generation will be the one to show the world that gender variance is something to cherish. It took me 2 decades to learn how to be proud of who I truly am, and I would not wish that upon anybody else. And it's events like this that will help others to come forward in the future, give them the confidence to come out as trans. So, once again, thank you all for coming.
Yeah, I've just picked up the total number of people on the march. It was 450. Yay! Amazing. So just a few more thanks. Thanks to Unite for your support. Thanks to Broken Rainbow for your support. Thanks to all the councillors from all the parties across Brighton. We might not agree politically, but at least you supported this event. And thank you for my ex-MP who's behind me. Sadly, I've moved out of her constituency, but I still love her. Caroline Lucas.
Well, thank you so much. And I just want to say how genuinely honoured I am to have been asked to say a few words at this amazing Trans Pride in Brighton today. I genuinely can't imagine anywhere I would prefer to be right now because of the warmth and the love and the celebration and the honesty that you've already heard about from Sarah are here in such quantities. You know, if you could draw a picture of what was happening from this spot, there would be waves of love and acceptance and celebration going out right across the world from you here today. And I just want to thank you for that. But somebody who works in trans issues gave me a business card once, and on the bottom of it, it said, "Tolerance is not enough." And I so believe that. How dare people say this is just about tolerance? This is about genuine celebration of diversity. It is about recognizing that what you have is something that is to be cherished and shared and celebrated by everyone. But I want to tell you too that in Parliament, I am still absolutely fighting the cause, because although today is about celebration, it's also about determination to eradicate discrimination once and for all. And you will know better than most the discrimination that people in the trans community still face. I am appalled by what the media still gets away with in terms of their presentation and representation of the trans community. And I'm doing everything I can to try to ensure that the media industry does stay to the letter of the law and does not abuse the trans community. I wanted to say as well that we've been working hard to try to change the outdated rules governing gender recognition and marriage. The Joint Committee on Human Rights recommended that existing marriages should not have to end for a full gender recognition certificate to be issued. I agree. Trans rights are human rights. But today I also want to speak about the importance of bringing an end to the huge delays faced by trans people wanting access to health service, wanting access to treatment. You know, I've had so many people approach me about the Charing Cross Clinic, which is absolutely overwhelmed by demand. And that's why I've started a campaign for Brighton and Hove to have its own gender identity clinic now. So Trans Pride is about the inclusiveness of all trans and intersex, gender variant and queer people. It's about being visible and about promoting equality and diversity through visibility. And I just want to say how proud I am to be MP for a city where Trans Pride is now part of the annual calendar. I'm proud to be part of a political party that has long campaigned for an end to trans discrimination. So it just remains for me to wish you the most amazing Trans Pride today and to say it is a real honour to be with you today. Thank you.
I'm with Sarah Savage, who's one of the organisers of Trans Pride. Sarah, it appears to be going swimmingly well.
It's going amazingly well, way better than we imagined. We were in a slight panic this morning, but I'm really pleased with how many people are here. I'm pleased with the vibe. I was exceptionally pleased with the march. It's all a very good day.
How are we doing on numbers so far?
So far, we've had over 1,100 people coming in. I think we've got about 550 in the park at the moment.
That's amazing. It's certainly very, very busy, and it looks like the weather is going to hold for today.
With a bit of luck. Like I said on stage, I sold my soul back in 1997 for a packet of Maltesers and a kiss with a really hot girl, so I couldn't sell it for good weather today. So we'll see.
Well, clearly somebody else has sold their soul on your behalf.
Trans Pride.
Yeah, so what about finance? Because that's always a big issue with events like this.
This year, actually, we've done really, really well from the community donations. People in the trans community have really supported us. We are hugely thankful for that. And we've had a little bit of money from the council, a little bit of money from the police as well. But yeah, I think next year, if we need to find a new venue, we're going to be looking for a lot more money. So we'll hope that the council will be more supportive.
I see you have really good support from G-Scene magazine.
Yeah, G-Scene have gone really out of their way to be inclusive of trans people. They've done an entire Trans Pride issue in time for Trans Pride. So I think James Ledward from G-Scene has done really, really well in reaching out to trans people.
I'm also very pleased to see a whole bunch of young women here from a Brighton feminist organisation expressing their support.
Yeah, we had a lot of support from the feminist associations in Brighton. They marched with us, and they're going to show that being feminist doesn't have to be exclusionary to trans women.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. I hope the rest of the day, and indeed tomorrow's picnic on the beach, goes really well.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Pleasure. Okay, so just tell me who you are, where you're from, and why you're here.
Okay, I'm Liam's mum, hence the t-shirt. I come from Hemel Hempstead, but I'm involved with Gendered Intelligence in London. I help support parents of young trans people because I'm a parent myself, and just think it's a brilliant opportunity to make more people aware of that there are trans people and they should accept them just the same as they accept everybody else.
Hey, Liam.
Hey, so I'm Liam. I'm also from Hemel, but I live in London now. And I'm here as well to sort of show the diversity of the community and that it's not just all about the gay community. There's a lot more to it. And yeah, there's just so much diversity and everyone needs to be aware that gender isn't as fixed as people would like to believe.
I wish we were on TV. Your hair is amazing.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Davis and I'm from Brighton. I'm part of the queer, trans, intersex people of colour group in Brighton, and I'm here to support my trans brothers and sisters and siblings.
So I found Claire Parker, who is the host of Britain's only trans-specific radio programme. Claire, hello.
Hello. Oh, that's a specific. You do your fair share as well.
Well, we do stuff on your shout out has two trans presenters. Hello, Steph and Natalie. Why aren't you here? And it also has me doing roving reporter. But your programme is only about trans people, which is unique, I believe.
I assume it is. I'm sure we've been doing it for about 18 months now. No one's come and kicked me where the sun doesn't shine and tried to one-up me. But there are other people. There are podcasts, but my claim to fame is the FM broadcast, so it's radio. And we're having a great time. Yeah, it's just a real good it's a good, if you like, staging post for other people to get them on, get them talking about themselves and organisations, and to inspire other people, and hopefully they can get out of their bedrooms and stop being keyboard warriors and break free into the light and actually start doing some things, and maybe they can be inspired to join the armed forces. We did an article on the armed forces, all those sorts of things, so it's a great privilege to do.
You don't seem to have any shortage of material.
Beg, borrow and steal, and I think it's only once a month, so that's not too bad, is it, if you think about it? Doing it once a week, I think, would be a real challenge, and I have thought of been going twice monthly, but I think the material you have to squeeze and tweak people, and getting dragging people on a lovely Sunday afternoon into a hot, sweaty environment studios is probably the biggest challenge. Everyone wants to hear their voice, but they don't want to be melting and come out looking like a rock lobster. So most of the shows are sort of pre-booked 3 months in advance, just to make sure that the quality is kept up, and hopefully we're doing that.
Okay, and if our listeners want to listen to Time for Tea themselves, how can they do so?
If you want to listen to any of the podcasts, it's timefortea.podomatic.com, or if you want to tweet us, it's @itstimefortea.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you. Have a good...
My name is Lee Gale. I am currently from Luton in Bedfordshire, and I'm here because it's amazing to see a space where it's trans-orientated rather than trans as an afterthought or an add-on or just being included. It's great to see a space where it's just purely for trans people.
My name is Jochem, and I'm from the Netherlands, and I'm here to see the Trans Pride in Brighton. I went to visit Lee and Bryn, friends of mine, who I met at International Council of Transgender Europe, and they told me about Trans Pride in Brighton, so I got curious.
And it's really nice.
You're good, you're enjoying it?
Yeah, I am, really, yeah.
So I'm here with two fabulous documentary filmmakers, Raphael Francis Fox, hello again.
Hello, nice to see you.
And for the first time, Mr. Lewis Hancock.
Hello, thank you for having us here.
Now, you guys have been incredibly busy over the past year. I think last time I spoke to Fox, you'd been doing a few of the My Generation films, but you've just been doing loads of stuff recently.
Yeah, it's really taken off. So first Fox and I were doing the My Generation films off our own back, and then we were approached by the organisation All About Trans, who wanted us on board with the Patchwork Project. So we've been creating 25 films for Patchwork all around the UK, filming with all sorts of people, and it's just been great, hasn't it?
Yeah, so for the past 5 or almost 6 months now, we've dedicated our time to making these films, and I tell you, it's been a lot of hard work, especially because we're producing the very short films that are kind of between 2 to 3 minutes, so the emphasis is really on quality versus quantity. Well, actually we've got quantity because we've got 25, but but you know, they're very short and sweet, and it kind of leaves it's like a window on a person's life, and the wonderful thing is we've got kind of all sorts of gender variants going on, you know, gender fluidity, gender queer people, trans people, obviously transgender. Yeah, and we've got trans women, trans men, everything. And, you know, we're not going to stop as well just because we've done this project now. And it's really helped us actually to, because Channel 4 has been holding our hand with the process, it's really helped us kind of up our game. And I really feel like looking back, like, cause last night we had the film night for Trans Pride kicking off the whole event, the whole weekend. And we played the Trans Pride video that that we'd made last year. You know, this time last year we filmed it and then edited it. And, you know, the difference in quality between that and the stuff that we're producing now is the stuff now still has the same big heart, but it's got a lot more finesse, I'd say.
Yeah.
And so we're definitely learning. I think every month we're kind of getting better and better. So
sort of just finding our style, really, aren't we? And obviously, just because everybody has been so great, you know, in the films, it's been, you know, a pleasure to work with them.
Yeah.
You mentioned Channel 4. I understand there's a possibility that they will actually screen some of these films.
Yeah, so we've made 25 films altogether, and Channel 4 are most likely going to choose 6 films, possibly more. We're going to try to push for more, but 6 are the sort of, you know, least that they'll choose to be broadcasted on Channel 4.
So that would make a half-hour episode. So we're happy with that, and that would actually make us become an actual production company as well. So, yeah, that's a good thing.
And perhaps more importantly, there are films by trans people about trans people, which has got to be a first.
I'd say so, actually. I mean, there's something going on in Canada, which is a comedy called The Switch, which is has trans people involved, but I think documentary wise I think we're one of the few outlets that are actually trans specifically, you know, because we really are a one-stop shop. I mean, Lewis and I film, direct and edit everything ourselves,
And plus we've been filmed as well for a documentary, obviously My Transsexual Summer, so not only can we relate to people being trans, but we can also, we know how it feels to be filmed and feel that, you know, you're only put on the spot, and you know, and they, people put their trust in us to show them in a positive light and understand the situation, and the films, you know, have thankfully come out very natural, and that's due to the relationship that we've built with the people that we're filming.
Yeah,
I think that's a really important point, that the people that you're filming know that you understand what they're going through and you have respect for their identities.
Absolutely, and also same thing goes with the older films as well. The person, that the contributor that we're filming, gets to see the film before anyone else does, and if they're not happy with something, we always make changes.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so what do you do from here in terms of film? I mean, you've done the stuff for Channel 4. I understand there's a launch on the 31st of July. So what next?
We've booked up till September, actually.
After the launch, we're going to be working on 7 films with All About Trans again for the NHS. So,
and that's through Gyres, you know.
Yeah, Gyres, yeah.
Fantastic organisation. So it's an opportunity to have some trans awareness again. I think this is going to be for the, it's destined for the NHS website, and also to help everyone from local GPs to other people working in the NHS, just to have a better idea and understanding of what it's like to be trans and trying to work through the system to get what they're looking for. Things need to change a little bit, and it seems like the GIC is really inundated at the moment in London, and people don't always get the care that they need at the time and deserve. So if this can help in any way, then brilliant.
I think the NHS has very little training, particularly with GPs. I've done training myself for nurses in hospitals, and they were very keen on it, but almost every GP I've had has known absolutely nothing about trans.
Yeah, well, hopefully these videos that we make will be just a reference point, and they're only short films, 7 films at 2 minutes each on different topics, but, you know, if a GP can just refer to these films, watch one of them or all of them, and just learn a little bit more, seeing a trans person stood there talking about themselves will help them.
They'll have some sort of reference point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that they might know what to do. I mean, we've got quite a few contributors that were involved with My Generation, which are going to feature on the NHS film, so you'll see some friendly faces there as well.
Yeah.
Are you going to carry on doing My Generation films, and if so, what should people do if they would like to feature in one?
We're definitely going to carry on with the My Generation films, just because the Patchwork Project has come to an end. It doesn't mean we're going to stop. We're going to commit to, you know, perhaps something along the lines of one film a month alongside of all our other projects, and just keep it going, because there's so many great people that we've not yet filmed with.
Absolutely.
And people want to be involved, and if they'd like to be involved, then they just need to get in touch with us at mygeneration@gmail.com. Mygeneration.com is our website, and all the contact details can be found on there as well.
And people should be able to see the new films and see the new format, I suppose, you know, the kind of the shorter format and the quality look. In the next couple of weeks, I think we're going to have them available online.
Productions as well.
Productions and the YouTube. All About Trans is going to show them. We're just going to plaster them everywhere, because we'd love for people to see them as much as possible.
4OD as well are going to host some
them.
Of the films.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, you did this marvellous film festival last night. Presumably this is going to be a regular feature of Brighton Trans Pride. I'd love to see some more films from around the world.
Absolutely, fantastic. I mean, it was a real pleasure to help curate last night's films. We had 1 hour of documentary shorts, mostly My Generation stuff, and then we had a short break, and then we had an hour's worth of fictional shorts as well. We had a few music videos as well, donated by directors, a few comedy shorts that Lewis and Claire Parker were involved with. Yeah, it'd be wonderful to have a more international element to the films, and I think the film night is a very strong opening event. It was great last year as well, and it was completely sold out last year. We got a bigger venue this year, so we didn't sell out. But if people want to submit any films to us, we're always open to that. And we were really lucky, actually. We had a German queer film festival that donated 3 films that we watched last night from their archives, and that was really nice to have that support as well. And obviously, we don't have a huge amount of cash to be able to help put the night on, so it's nice to have film donations from people, and we always return the favours. We love it when our films are in other film festivals too, so it's a great thing.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks very much for talking to me, guys.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for having us.
See you later tonight for a bit of a dance, hopefully.
My feet are killing me already, folks.
Mine too, actually.
I'm here to support my boyfriend. And I'm Rosa Mojo, and I'm from Camden.
Hi, my name's Noah. I'm from London, and I'm here today to celebrate the second UK Trans Pride, having come last year, which was an excellent day. I was really looking forward to coming back.
I'm here with Nicole Gibson, who is a trans model. She was on the Independent Pink List this year as one to watch. Absolutely gorgeous girl. Fabulous legs, my dear.
Bless you. Thank you.
So, you know, what has that national exposure done for your career?
Well, it's still fledgling at the moment. We're still trying to get it off the ground. But I did have some fantastic press last year when I decided to talk openly about my journey. Ball's sort of rolling now. Things are starting to happen. This is my first official presenting job today, presenting Trans Pride in Brighton, and it does not feel like work at all. I'm having the best day ever. It's wonderful. It's brilliant.
Are you being a bit modest here? I understand you did really well at the London Fashion Week.
Well, I might be being a little bit modest. I do suffer with that problem. Are you referring to me being referred to as the unexpected star of London Fashion Week?
That was the phrase I heard people use, yes.
Well, it was unexpected for me more than anybody. I mean, I've been obsessed with the industry my entire life. Never in a million years thought that I would be a part of it.
So I have to ask, do you have a favourite designer?
Oh, I'm a bit of a high street girl. That's probably because of my wallet. I like a bit of an edge. If I could afford it, it would be Valentino and Chanel all the way. But I have discovered a brilliant designer called Gomez Grazia, very big in the States, and things are just getting off the ground here. And she's got a bit of a rocky edge to it. So yes, if I'm going to say anybody within price range, I would say Gomez Grazia, of course.
I'll have to look her up. Now, I understand that you got involved in the main Brighton Pride this year and you were elected one of their ambassadors.
I was indeed. That came as a bit of a surprise. I was invited to the Golden Handbag Awards to present an award. This was a month or two ago, held here in Brighton. And yes, on my journey home, I had a phone call to invite me to be the fourth ambassador for, I like to call it transbassador. Yes, for Gay Pride, which is in a week today. And I'm blooming excited. I can't wait.
So that's trans inclusion in Brighton Pride.
Absolutely, absolutely. I had a really interesting conversation with James from G Scene magazine in Brighton. He was kind of giving me a little nudge to get, you know, to get the trans side of things, you know, out there a little bit more. And no, I feel absolutely honoured to be representing us girls and boys and everyone in between.
Was that you on the cover of G Scene?
It might well have been. Yes, that was a nice surprise as well. Yeah, that none of this feels like work. At all. This community is just, I genuinely didn't have anything to do with it before my transition. I didn't know anybody else in my situation. I followed people on YouTube, which kind of gave me the kickstart to get myself going. And being introduced to these amazing people has just been, it's been superb. Yeah, yeah, G Scene. It's quite nice. I must remember to pick my mum up a copy. She still doesn't have one.
Definitely, yes. It's your first cover girl gig?
I know. I've been hashtagging cover girl to within an inch of its life.
Well, yeah, that's really impressive. And very best of luck with your career from now on.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm having a great time.
I'm Susan from sunny West London, so I've travelled all the way down to Brighton.
Okay, and why are you here?
For the Trans Pride event. I thought I've got to support it, and it's sort of in vaguely the right part of the country, so I thought I'll jump in the car and come down.
My name's Chrissy Hunter, and I live in Greenwich in London. I'm here this year just by myself. I came down with a group called Gendered Intelligence, who are a project for young trans people from the age of 13 and 25. They've all gone home now, so I'm just with friends now.
You were telling me that you do work with older LGBT people.
Yeah, I also work for Opening Doors, which is a project within Age UK for older 50-plus LGBT people. And last year, when I came down to the first Trans Pride, it was partly to interview people for Opening Doors for the quarterly magazine. And after the interviews, I wrote an article, which they published.
It's really good that that sort of thing is happening. It seems to me that there's a big time bomb with older LGBT people that as they get less able to take care of themselves, maybe have to go into care, that they could have real problems.
There are lots of issues around care, both National Health Service care and care homes. There are also issues of isolation, where a lot of older LGBT people haven't got families because they were disowned at a young age, and they obviously haven't got the marriage support that straight people had in the past. And there are also issues of self-worth, because many people that grew up earlier in the last century were told what terrible people they were just on the basis of their sexuality. So there are a range of complicated intersecting issues.
Are there people listening to our show who are older and feel that they're in need of help? Is there anybody that nationally that they could go to?
Unfortunately, Opening Doors is a London-based organisation which started in Camden and is trying to spread across London. Opening Doors itself is having problems with funding, as many LGBT organisations are at the moment in this age of austerity. What I can say to people, if they have access to the internet and they can access Opening Doors, just searching Opening Doors on the internet, and there are links on Opening Doors on the website to telephone lines that they can use. So if people want help, they can contact Opening Doors and they may be directed from that contact.
Wonderful, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
My name's Keith, I'm from Caterham, like a few hours away. Transgender people really need a place to express who we are, to show there's nothing wrong with being transgender and this is our space to do it.
So I got EJ Scott here, who's one of the people involved in the Brighton Transformed Trans History Project. EJ, can you tell me what we have been going on today?
Sure. It's the Brighton Transformed Project was initiated by Queen's Park Books, which is the oldest independent community publisher in the UK. It's been funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund, and it's been a skill-building process where we have trans people have learned about the basics of oral history. They've gone out and recorded each other's stories. We've got 23 people's stories in 1 hour interviews. It's all being transcribed. They're being put into the history annuals by being sent to the British Library. They're going to the Keep here in Brighton. And off the back of that and the transcriptions, we're doing a radio documentary, and we're also going to do a full colour book. It has all the people that have been involved, who've done the interviews and been interviewed, have had their photos taken in their favourite locations in Brighton. So Alice Denny, for example, she's a poet. She had her photo taken at Virginia Woolf's house in Lewes. So really stunning photographs, and that's going to all go into the full colour book, and we are going to have that launched probably around October. It's a very powerful project because it de-spectacularises what the regular press makes of trans people, because it's trans people's voices, it's trans people's stories, it's run by trans people, it's edited by trans people. This is the difference, and this is why this project's unique, and we think that it's the largest one in the world to have happened so far. So very excited about it.
And you've got an awful lot of visibility around the town today.
Yes, as part of the project, we've run what we call the Brighton Transformed Exhibition Project, and we decided when we were trying to choose where we would use an exhibition space that we weren't an homogenous group. We are all individuals. The trans experience might unite us, but it doesn't make us the same. And so as a consequence, we thought that what might be nice would be if we made an exhibition trail, and that way we could see different parts of Brighton that different trans people access. So the Marlborough Pub, for example, the Clare Project meets there. We've got the Jubilee Library, because it's a safe space, but it's also an educated audience that go in there. And then we've got more radical things, like at the Gilded Cage. We've got an exhibition there that actually involves human body parts post-surgery, pickled in formaldehyde. And it's all about the importance of people having that option and not privatising the NHS. And then as we walked up St James's Street today, we marched past all our photos from the project that lining the windows of the shops. It's all about visibility. It's time we stood up and were brave and got counted. Not all of us have the ability to do that, but those of us who can, should, and we have.
And tonight you're projecting those photos onto the wall of a church.
We are indeed. The Unitarian Church are very supportive, in fact. So we've got all the images that we've taken, and they're going to be 30 foot by 30 foot on a big old church. So happy days. The irony is not lost on me, believe me.
Thank you ever so much. That's glorious.
Oh, it's wonderful for you to give me the time. Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Sam, and I'm from Aberdeen originally, but I've been here for 6 months. I'm reporting for a magazine here that's a local What's Happening magazine, because I felt it was important that Trans Pride got out to more of a wider audience.
And is that magazine paper, or is it going to be online somewhere?
We have a paper magazine and also an online one. So the deadline was Friday for the printed one, so we can't get in that one, unfortunately, but it will be on the online magazine.
Hello. Hope everyone's had a lovely Trans Pride anyway. I'm Jennifer. I come down from sunny Bolton, of all places. The reason I came to Trans Pride is that it's situated here in Brighton. It's my very first time in Brighton. It's an absolutely stunning city to begin with. Everybody's been very welcoming. And I felt that this was truly the most trans-inclusive and, yeah, the most one that was taking more interest in the wide spectrum anyway, as opposed to other trans events that I've seen within the UK.
I'm here with Bethany Black, who's going to be opening the after party tonight. Beth, as well as being a comedian, I gather you now have a burgeoning television career.
Yeah, it turns out now I'm an actor as well. I have no idea how that happened. I always wanted to be an actor when I was growing up, and then when I got to about 18 and was doing theatre studies and performing arts at college, doing my A-levels, realised that I hated all of the drama students who I was on with and thought, well, I'm going to give that up. I'm going to go and try and become a director. And then that didn't work out, so I decided to become a writer, and that didn't work out, so then I became a comedian. Now I'm acting. So for anyone out there who does want to get into acting, the hint is just stop trying. Wait for about 15 years, and then eventually someone will write a massive part in a massive TV show that's pretty much based around you anyway, so you'll get to go and play yourself. That's pretty much what's just happened.
And that someone was Russell T Davies?
Yeah, Russell. All of this is just odd to me. About 2 months ago, there was a casting call for a trans actor to play a trans character in a TV show based in Manchester, which is where I live. They'd gone through all sorts of different channels, and apparently they were only a couple of days away from rewriting the role entirely to make it a cisgendered character. About 7 of my friends immediately, as soon as it came out, sent me a direct message on Facebook saying, you have to go for this. And I was like, I don't want to act, but all right then, I'll give it a go. So I went for it, emailed them on the Tuesday, got an audition for the Thursday. On the Saturday, I got a phone call off Andy Pryor, who is the casting director for that. He's also the casting director for Doctor Who and pretty much everything since Trainspotting that's sort of big budget, asking me whether I could come in on the Tuesday, because it was bank holiday weekend, whether I could come in on a Tuesday for a callback, and I did. And then on the Wednesday, they told me that I got the job.
You mentioned Doctor Who. Although Russell is involved, I don't think there will be any Daleks and Cybermen in what you're doing.
No, there are not. There are not any Daleks. There are not any Cybermen. That I can confirm. I'm still, at the moment, under contract, not allowed to say very much at all about the show.
But you will be acting with a Doctor Who companion?
No, I am not. I can say that much. I don't think me and Andrew Hayden-Smith are in any scenes together. Although we did meet up in the first read-through, because I got the job on the Wednesday and then got told that I had a read-through on the Friday. So I arrived at the offices and sort of walked into this big room exactly as I'd seen in all those Doctor Who Confidential episodes. And Andy went and sort of like said, oh, we'll come and we'll sit you down in here, and went and put me in a room with like 3 other people. And I just looked around the room. It took me a second to realise that I recognised all of them from various different things, from either Downton Abbey or from Fresh Meat. And then sat there talking to this lovely Geordie guy and suddenly went, hang on a second, you're Andrew Hayden-Smith, aren't you? It's all been really surreal.
That must have been really terrifying.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was made a lot easier because it was my first day in the office, my first day getting paid. As we're walking through the production offices to go into the room, Russell sat in his office, which is all glass windows, and he got up from his desk and came running out and went, Beth, fantastic to finally meet you. Oh, and gave me a big hug. That really put me at ease, strangely. You know, it's not often that getting a 6'6" Welshman coming and grabbing you and picking you up off the floor is something that will calm you down, but in that case, it certainly worked.
There are two shows that you've mentioned, there's Banana and Cucumber. These are separate productions?
What they're doing is they've got 3 shows altogether. There's Banana, Cucumber and Tofu. Cucumber is an 8-part serial on Channel 4, which is about 2 gay men in their mid-40s and their relationship ups and downs and what happens. It's an 8-part story that sort of follows their lives, a little bit like Queer as Folk did. After that, over on E4, they've got a half-hour episode of a TV series called Banana, which is characters from Cucumber in their own self-contained half-hour story that's just like a short story film about them. Episode 4, I believe, of Banana is the episode which is all about my character's story.
And can you tell us anything about that story?
No, not really. I can tell you that my character's called Helen and that I ended up acting alongside some of my absolute heroes whilst I was doing that. This is the first time I've been involved in anything like this, and when we did the read-through for Block 2 for Cucumber, Russell was sat at the head of the table and just said, listen, the best way to watch television is to not know anything about it, so don't tell anybody anything that goes on during these scripts, not even your partner. Just keep it to yourselves. And of course now, everything that I say gets put through Channel 4's publicity people, so I don't know what I am and aren't allowed to say, other than I did a scene with Julie Hedman's house, who played Hayley in Coronation Street, which is a bit of a sort of passing the torch, I suppose, which is fantastic, and Ardal O'Hanlon as well, who's also been cast in that. We're shooting a scene together next week, and like just really, really good actors. Dean Andrews from Life on Mars is absolutely fantastic in it, and there's some really, really good actors, and it's probably one of the most exciting things I've ever been a part of. Not only that, reading through the scripts and seeing what it's going to be like for TV, I can't wait to see it myself, because it just looks like it's going to be the biggest show of next year.
Well, you know, we can't wait, because it's an actual trans person playing a trans character on TV, which is pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, it is. They decided to cast a trans actor in a trans role, but obviously because they didn't know from when they were starting off whether or not they'd be able to get anybody to do it. When the part was written originally, I was just in Banana and had one very, very short scene in Cucumber, and now it's been written, so I've got more of a role being in it.
So we're going to see you like Laverne Cox. You'll be on the chat shows and getting an Emmy.
I hope so. Well, I certainly hope so.
We can but hope, yeah. Beth. Now, you mentioned next year. Do you know yet when it's going to be screened?
No, we don't. It's going to be early next year, but we don't know exactly when.
Okay, and in the meantime, what can we expect from you other than lots of comedy gigs?
Yeah, it's lots of comedy. I'm up and down the country. I'm performing all over the place, doing all sorts of stuff. At the moment, we're filming until the middle of September, so it's pretty full on doing that. I can't really do anything else whilst I'm doing that. And it's also meant that I've had to grow my hair and everything, which is really awkward, which I really don't like, but, you know, it's for a character, darling.
Can't they give you a wig?
Yeah, they could do. My makeup lady, because I have quite a lot of hair extensions and stuff in to sort of like make it look awesome, which, you know, I think I could manage to be that glamorous if I had somebody following me around all day like I do on set with makeup and hair and doing all those things. But I was saying I can't wait until this is over so I can get my hair cut. She went, "Don't you dare." She said, "Don't you dare. In case we have to get anything brought back, I'm not getting a bobbed wig for you." They're just even more painful having to wear. And already, yeah, had to spend like several hours a day wandering around in 3-inch stilettos. I always wear flat shoes. I hate wearing heels. So I've just been in agony for quite a lot of it.
You're suffering for your art, well, darling.
Oh, absolutely.
Dear. Yes, well, we very much look forward to seeing you on TV. I've seen that one picture that you tweeted, and you do look very, very glamorous in it.
Yeah, I do. My character's a lot more successful than I am. My character's a lot more girly, a lot more glamorous, and certainly a lot more successful in work than I am. No, it's a really, really good show. I'm really, really excited to sort of see it. There's the three parts to it. It's Cucumber, which is on Channel 4, there's Banana on E4, and there's a web series, which is sort of like a documentary series about sex and sexuality in the 21st century and media and the internet and how all of these things interlink. They're all going to be really, really exciting. So I just can't wait to see it.
Well, let's hope that some of Helen's success rubs off on you. And in the meantime, I can't wait to see your show for the first time.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And thanks very much for talking to me.
I'm Sandy Hopton. I'm from Nottingham. I identify as genderqueer. And I came here because it feels like the biggest trans gathering in the country. And it felt really important to be here.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'm a newly out trans guy. I'm from Nottingham. I wanted to come along to Brighton Trans Pride because it sounded like a really good opportunity to meet and rub shoulders with a whole load of people much more experienced than me, and I wanted to get to meet people and pick people's brains on how we can take this kind of environment up to Nottingham.
Steph Scott, at the closing ceremonies yesterday, you were presented with a special award for volunteering above and beyond the call of duty. Congratulations.
Thanks very much. It was incredibly emotional. I was really glad I had my mirror sunglasses so I could cry and not people not to see. But yeah, it's really great to be acknowledged by your own peers.
And we've had another very successful event here. I presume it's going to run again next year?
Yes, we are going to run it next year. But we'd like not to think about next year just yet.
Yeah, I think you definitely deserve a rest. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.